Church. Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. This is the day the Lord has made. We can rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Chris Townsend. I'm the intentional interim pastor here. It's great to be able to worship with you in person, and those of you joining us online, thank you very much for that. It is a blessing to be together, and we are thankful for the opportunity to worship God. Thankful for the opportunity we had last Sunday. If you helped out in any fashion in the 16th celebration of Harbor of Joy, thank you for doing that. That's always greatly appreciated. If you're new to the faith community, there's a visitor card, a welcome card in the pew in front of you. If you want to fill that out and put it in the offering basket by, or offering box by the door, feel welcome to do that as well. You may have noticed that we are running announcements before worship now on the PowerPoint up on the projection. And one of the good things about being able to do that, I won't stand up here and repeat all the announcements. And you're probably happy about that too. But I do want to highlight one of them. It's this coming Wednesday, the fellowship evening. We have a wonderful opportunity for all of you to gather in fellowship here at Harbor of Joy. We have a great meal planned. Some people here are already doing, prepared to do the grilling. So we're thankful for that. If you can bring a side dish or a dessert, something of that nature, that would be greatly appreciated. We have CJ as our entertainment, so we're blessed with that as well. It'll just be a great Wednesday evening, everything starting at 5:30. So I look forward to seeing many of you there. At this time, I'd like to invite Angela forward. She is the chair of our call committee, and she has some updates she'd like to share with us.
Good morning. How are you? Can you hear this okay? Yes. Okay. Again, for visitors, thank you so much for attending today. Again, my name is Angela Berg, and I'm the call committee chair, and I'm just here to give you a quick update. We have another candidate who has applied to be our full-time pastor. So just to kind of review the process that you guys are aware of. So what will happen is this week, the screening team, Terry and Steve, will talk to this individual. And then if they think he is a good candidate, then what will happen is the call committee will then get together and meet and review. What we will do is then have an interview via Zoom. And again, in this interview with on Zoom, we want to make sure that this is aligned with that survey you guys all basically filled out back in October on a really good fit for Harbor of Joy. Then what happens is that he will take a leadership assessment. And then what we'll do is we'll talk to the church council to see if he is interested in coming to preach. And then he will come to Harbor of Joy. He'll do a sermon. This is where we will have face-to-face interviews with not only the call committee, but also with, let's say, the church council. So if that is approved and goes well, we then go to the church council for approval. And then we will have a special meeting to make a call for a pastor. So I just want to say thank you so much for your prayers. We feel them, and we just want to say thank you so much for everything. And again, a special thanks to Pastor Chris for everything that he is doing. So with that being said, have a great day and stay tuned.
Thank you very much. Well, this morning we're starting a new sermon series on water. I thought, being in this Great Lakes region of Iowa, that it'd be appropriate to spend some weeks talking about water, especially since water is mentioned a lot in the Bible if you start investigating that. So this theme of water is something we'll dig into and maybe get a little wet with over these next coming weeks. I would ask you to stand at this time for our call to worship. It's based on Psalm 104. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed in with splendor and majesty. He set the earth on its foundations, and it can never be moved.
You covered it with the watery depths.
The waters stood above the mountains. But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Praise the Lord for that promise. I invite the praise team forward as they're going to lead us in our opening song called "The River Is Here."
In 2015, wrote on a personal moment, reminding himself and others that even when God seems silent, he's never absent. Waymaker. Yeah.
congregation may be seated. Thank you, praise team. I'd like to invite you into a quiet time, a time of prayer. If you need to close your eyes or bow your heads, please feel welcome to do that as I offer a prayer. God, we're thankful that you are the true waymaker, that through the storms of life, you make a way for us, your children, to go, to follow you in faith. We thank you for that. We thank you for grabbing hold of us, lifting us up out of the storm and into a pure life with you. Lord, be with us as we continue in our worship, as we hear your word read and proclaimed. Continue to bless us and keep us as we worship you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I'd like to invite Karen to come forward as she is our reader for today. Thank you, Karen. Do you have a microphone?
I don't.
The microphone, Angela. Oh, Steve has it now. So we're playing microphone tag.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, chapter 43. Now hear God's word. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And continuing to verse 16, this is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and the horses, the army and the reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That ends our first reading. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. And hear God's word. When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah, he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the cities. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out of the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here, and Jason has welcomed them into his house. They all are defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. This ends our reading. Now I invite Pastor Chris to come up and share the gospel with us.
Thank you very much. I'd like to share with you from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May I offer a prayer? God, we thank you for the blessing that you give us in your word and the opportunity to hear it and also understand it to the best of our abilities given by you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, before I start this message this morning, I want to share with you that I spent 4 hours out at the Bible camp, Ingham Okoboji Bible Camp, on Thursday. And I sat with some of the leaders there as well as a couple other pastors. And oftentimes when that happens, jokes start to flow. Some are yawners, some are really funny, and some just make you scratch your head. Well, we started telling Ole and Lena jokes. I don't know if some of you are familiar with Ole and Lena. And some of those are head scratchers. And I shared this one, and there was a hesitation, then laughter. So let's see what happens this morning. Well, Ole and Lena had left Minnesota. They traveled south to the Great Lakes region. They came to Okoboji area. They wanted to go on this wonderful vacation and spend time at the condo on the water and just rejoice in it. They had a wonderful drive down. They got to the condo. Ole went inside. Lena said she's going to go do some shopping. So she went out and did some shopping. And when Lena came back, she said to Ole, "Ole, there's something wrong with the car." And Ole said, "We just drove here. It worked wonderfully." "No, I think there's water in the carburetor." And Ole thought, "Water in the carburetor? Well, that can't be. I'll go check it out, though." Well, Lena told him, "You didn't have to go check it out." "Really, Ole, it's true. Don't you believe me? There's water in the carburetor because the car's in the lake." Okay, most of you got it. Thank you. Water. You got to get out of the boat. You see it up on the screen. That's the sermon title for this morning. What does that make you think of? Well, let's get right into it. We need to get people. We need to be people that are willing to get out of the boat and serve our Lord and Savior. We're people that need to get out of our comfort zones and honor God and what he's calling us to do. And in doing so, metaphorically, we're getting out of the boat, out of that comfort we may have. And how many of you have ever wanted to get out of the boat, but you were too scared, you were living in fear, but you wanted to do more in Jesus' name, but you just didn't want to take that first step? This past week, some of you walked the neighborhood here in the Milford community, inviting people to Harbor of Joy, in particular this coming Wednesday's event, as well as opportunities for Vacation Bible School. I want to thank you that are willing to get out of the boat and do that, but some of us can't do that. Some of us can't go walk the neighborhood and interact in that fashion. But you can share what those people shared. In your bulletin this morning was this nice flyer that was made up by our youth and family ministry team. This is an opportunity for you. I call it soft evangelism. You have a friend, a neighbor, a waitress, somebody that you meet, and all you have to do is give this to them and say, hey, if you get a chance, read it. Love to be able to take you to that event, or maybe I'll meet you there. And you can always tell them it's a free meal. That might be the hook that you need to share with them. But that's part of getting out of the boat, part of not staying in that comfort zone, in the cocoon of life. Stepping out to friends, family, people that we meet at the store, and inviting them into an opportunity, into a relationship with fellow Christians, and possibly, if they don't know Jesus, into a relationship with the Savior of the world. So give that flyer out. Share that with others. Don't just put it on your refrigerator and keep it at home. Okay, let's see. The title for today's message, you've got to get out of the boat. I admit this isn't the greatest grammar. Some of you have pointed that out to me. But it caused you to pay attention, right? You got to get out of the boat. This title might be a little confusing for some, but I hope through this time together it'll be clarified. This new sermon series, as I said, is going to focus on water very appropriately. We're surrounded by water. And normally, when you're on water, you don't want to get out of the boat. You want to stay in the boat and just enjoy the ride. But we need to get out of the boat. I said this is a metaphor earlier. The boat for us is our worldly life. The water is a blessed life with Jesus, who is the Christ. Let me repeat that. The boat for us is our worldly life, and the water is the blessed life with Jesus, who is our Savior. In today's gospel reading, you may have heard a key word that I shared. I highlighted in voice, the word immediately. That word is a wonderful word, especially in our gospel text. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowd, as found in Matthew 14:25. Immediately after what, you might be thinking? Why did they have to leave immediately? What was happening before that? Well, the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 plus, of course, happened before that. You know the story. After the meal was over, all those people, they gathered up a number 12 baskets of leftovers, in a sense. But Jesus told them, get in the boat and go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Apparently, there wasn't time to just relax and revel in this miracle and just be there and go, wow, what just happened? Jesus immediately sent them across the Sea of Galilee. And I point this out because I think this word immediately is an important part of this biblical story, because it reminds us of how life actually works here in this 21st century. A lot of changes happen in our life. Some changes have happened just this past week to some of you. Some good, some bad, some hard, maybe even some sad. And sometimes those things happen immediately. It could be a good thing. If someone calls you up and tells you you're a new grandparent or great-grandparent, wow, fantastic news. But someone else might call you up and say, our friend, whomever, has died, and they're sad news. But sometimes those things happen immediately, and we aren't necessarily prepared for it. Often, our lives are immediately changed by receiving some news. And some news can be unwelcome events that we receive immediately, like when your church floods, or there's an illness, or an accident occurs, or the death of a loved one, as I mentioned. Or even the tragic event, as you see up on the screen, that's the church in Spencer from a couple years ago. Pastor Ben, who I was with on Thursday, we talked about this. Sarah and I were able to go there a couple years ago and wade into the waters, in a sense. Some of you remember this very distinctly, this time here in this area when the flooding took place and what a hardship that was. Some of you remember it distinctly because some of your homes were flooded, your basements were flooded, and you won't forget that. Sarah and I remember it because when we came for the 100th anniversary of the Ingham Okoboji camp, the water was so up to the beach house and that amphitheater area that you couldn't really see even where the shoreline is supposed to be. Some of those things happen immediately, much like life happens immediately. A change of something comes our way, and we need to respond, and respond in love. In the case of the disciples in our gospel reading, the change they experienced was through a command of Jesus, and that doesn't make it necessarily any easier for them. They were asked to leave Jesus almost immediately after he had performed the awesome miracle that I spoke of a moment ago. And when they do, they find themselves almost immediately out on the boat, out on the sea, in waves and winds. And they're getting terrified. They have fear. And we've all been there, probably. Maybe not out on the water, but in life, where we struggle, where it seems like we're caught in life's storm, being battered beyond the circumstances we could have ever imagined. Far from the safety of land, with the wind and seemingly everything else against us and against the disciples, as in our scripture lesson, they and we take turns in a boat. Life. And sometimes there's challenges when we least expect it. Challenges in a congregation. Challenges in our family, challenges in our individual life, where we think that we're getting battered and scathed. I agree when someone told me you'll never get through life unbattered or unscathed. I agree with that statement because I've been battered and scathed many a time, as some of you have. But very often, these storms come upon us immediately, without any warning. And when they do, it's worth remembering this biblical story that I shared a moment ago. It's worth remembering the word immediately showing up in this very story. It happened a couple times, and they teach us something about our Christian life as well. I thought about using the analogy of walking on water because of the miracle in this story. I wanted to use that in the sermon title, but I thought I needed to go in a different direction, a different focus as the Spirit was leading me, especially as it relates to this word immediately. The next time the word immediately occurs is when Jesus is walking on the water to his disciples. It's a famous part of this gospel text. It's actually a story, not necessarily the details of it, but a story that most people, especially in the American world, the United States, know of. Jesus walking on water. Doesn't happen every so often. It's happened once. That man in Jesus walked on water. So some people know this story. They don't know the details. You can share that with them. But Jesus is walking on water. They don't know the reason why. Why was Jesus walking on water? I believe the reason was to go be with his friends, his disciples, his followers. He wanted to be with them because he knew what they were going through with the boat being battered by the waves and the wind. They're caught in this terrifying storm, and Jesus doesn't want them to be alone. And it's simple, but it is an important detail that the story teaches us. That whenever we're caught in one of life's storms, we can trust that we're not alone, that Jesus is with us. If you're going into a storm or living in it right now, know that Jesus is with you. He's with you through fellow believers. He's with you through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're never alone in the boat of living. Let me repeat that. We're never alone in the boat of living with Jesus Christ. God's Son, our Savior, is always with us who believe in Him. And that's His promise. He may not immediately calm the storm in your life or my life, but He is with us. He's in the midst of the storm with us. He promises that to us. He is with us in the storm, and He is with us in the boat of daily living. And when in our life we're feeling battered by wind and waves, that we feel we're far from the safety of land, that is when we can have that blessed assurance that Jesus is with us and be thankful for it. The disciples in our focus text are not immediately comforted by Jesus. He's walking on the water towards them. You'd think, awesome, Jesus is coming. No, they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost out on the water. And so they cried out in fear. And that's exactly when the word immediately comes into the text again. The disciples cried out in fear, and immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And I believe there's an important lesson right here about prayer for us. When life storms hit, we can sometimes cry out to the Lord in fear, and the Lord will immediately answer the prayer. I just want to highlight, He may not answer it the way we want Him to, but He does answer the prayer. Being afraid doesn't mean that we don't have faith either. Let me repeat, that's an important point that we need to understand, that being afraid doesn't mean we don't have faith in Jesus Christ. There's nothing wrong when you're a child of God, of being afraid. Our Lord wants to hear from us when there's fear running in our life. He wants to connect with us even more deeply. So I ask you to cry out to Jesus if you're in fear. Do it in prayer. Connect with Him and be present with Him. Cry out to the Lord, and He immediately will answer your prayer in His desires. And take heart. Jesus said it, "It is I, do not be afraid." But that's not the end of this story. If it is, it would be a really short sermon for today, so I've got more for you. Now, this is a powerful part as well. Who enters the story now? Peter, Petra, a disciple of Jesus, the one of thunder. He, of course, speaks up. He's always speaking up. In response to seeing Jesus walking on water, Peter makes a sort of a strange request when you think of it. "Lord," Peter says, "if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Probably never thought of doing that when you were out on the lake and there was wind. So Jesus obliges and simply says, "Come." It's an invitation. He does that for us every day. "Come. Be with me. I invite you into a closer relationship with me." But here on the water, Jesus simply says, "Come." And this is when it's getting interesting. Peter gets out of the boat. Can you imagine the fear and trepidation? Think of yourself if you're out on the boat. You're going to step out in the middle of the lake and walk on water. Wow. Peter gets out of the boat. And he starts walking on the water towards Jesus. Picture that. God and Jesus Christ standing out on the water. Man, Peter, Petra, gets out of the boat and starts walking on the water towards Jesus. You may recall that Jesus referred to Peter, Petra as the rock, right? What do rocks do on water? Yeah, huh? Well, Peter, walking on water, it's pretty good to start with. But then we see in the story, he starts noticing the storm, the wind, the waves. He starts noticing what's around him. He stopped focusing on Jesus and was focusing on other things happens in our life too. We take our eye off the prize. Peter started focusing on what else was going on. The storm was always there. The water was always there. And Jesus was always there. So what changed? Maybe it was Peter's faith. What else is there? It's the only thing that changed. Peter, a disciple of Jesus, began to doubt what Jesus had said and done. He took his eyes off the prize, took his eyes off Jesus. He looked at the storm all around him, at the wind above him, at the water below him. He became frightened and he started to sink. And perhaps you've had those moments in life as well. I know I have. Times when I've taken my eyes off Jesus, off the prize. Times when maybe you've looked around at the storms of life and started to doubt. If that's you, remember what happens next, because we get one more use of the word immediately. Peter, in a panic, cries out, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus does immediately. He immediately reaches out his hand and pulls Peter to safety. No rebuke, no punishment, no, "Oh, Peter, you really blew it." "No, I told you so." We do that, don't we? He, Jesus, simply pulls Peter to safety. And this is so very important, because sometimes when we're in life storms, we forget who our faith is in. We can feel a little guilty, and our own guilt can sometimes keep us from a closer relationship with Jesus, keep us from crying out to Jesus and asking him to pull us to help. Now, that might make the devil happy when we forget about Jesus, but it doesn't make Jesus happy. He wants us to focus on him and focus on him alone. Jesus wants us to cry out for help. Regardless of how faithful or unfaithful we may be in that moment, Jesus still wants us to cry out to him. And he will immediately pull us closer to him. And after he pulls Peter in, or let's say after he pulls you or me to him, he might confront us about our challenge that we're in right at that moment, just as he does with Peter, but not before. He says to Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith, why did you doubt?" By the way, do you find it interesting that whenever Jesus describes someone of having little faith, he's talking about his followers? He's talking about people with faith? Jesus never says this to people that don't have faith in him. He only addresses it to people that know him. And Jesus isn't challenging people without faith, again, to have more faith. They don't have it. How can they have more? He's challenging those of us with faith to get closer to him. Read his word. Live his life. To have more and more. Jesus doesn't accuse non-believers of having little faith, but he does ask us to check ourselves. So maybe here's a checkup for you this morning. You don't have to answer out loud. How would you measure your faith today? Is it low, medium, high? Is there a measurement for you? I know sometimes my faith wanes in moments where I have questions, not questions of my salvation, not questions of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but questions in life. Most of us have those. Before you answer about your measure of faith, let me share two things with you. First, Jesus loves humility. Jesus loves humility. "Blessed are the poor in spirit," he says in Matthew 5, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who aren't sure they have the very faith needed. Jesus asked blessings upon them. The second point, remember that Jesus told those same disciples that they needed to have faith the size of a mustard seed. Have you ever seen how small a mustard seed is? It's almost minute. And Jesus is asking us to have faith that size. The Apostle Paul, in our reading Karen shared moments ago, had faith in Jesus despite all the challenges that he was facing in that time. Challenges, in a sense, on land. Challenges in the synagogue, in the city. Challenges in the boat. We all know he had some struggles when he was in the boat. Challenges. But he was connected to Jesus. No matter how big or small our challenges are, we need to remain connected to Jesus. And we need to take heart in his word and life with him. Again, we are not called to be afraid because we know Jesus is with us. And if he is with us, my faith, your faith, our faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, is still enough in our relationship with Jesus. So if your boat's a little battered right now, take heart. If you feel far away from the safety of land, don't be afraid. And if you've taken your eyes off Jesus, even for a moment, open those same eyes of faith and know that he welcomes you into a relationship that can grow deeper and deeper every day. Because he is always with you, the people of faith. Jesus is with us in the boat, in the storm, even though sometimes it may feel like we're drowning because everything's going around us and just swirling. Jesus is present, and he's there. Today's focus text is a simple story, but one I think we need to hear from time to time because it reminds us of the simple yet glorious truth that Jesus is with us in the midst of our life storms. We can prepare, but sometimes life storms just hit us. They don't always hit us immediately and unexpectedly, but they do strike out. They don't hit us like a thunderstorm we see coming in the distance. They might hit us like that tornado that we didn't hear the warning for. Some of the storms in life do hit us immediately. And that's when it's important that we know God's word and we're with God's people. We can find support in both. It's good to remember that when we cry out in fear to the Lord, that he is present, he is with us. It's his promise to us. When we take our eyes off Jesus and become overwhelmed by this world, once again, we're called to remember that Jesus will be right here for us, right there for us, reaching out and pulling us towards him. It's no wonder in our gospel text, when all of this is said and done, those in the boat worship Jesus saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." They went from a ghost to truly, you are the Son of God. And that's why we gather on Sunday morning, to worship the Son of God, to take a moment in the midst of the storms of life some of us may be going through, and take time to worship and live out the promises that God has given us through his word. And thanks be to God for that. If you want to read more about getting out of the boat, there's a great author, John Ortberg, wrote this years ago. To walk on the water, you've got to get out of the boat. So if you haven't had a chance to read that, go on Amazon. It's probably everywhere you look. But that's a great book for a summer read for us, especially in this water region. I want to invite you into a time of prayer again. So if you'd bow your heads, I appreciate that. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for pulling us closer. Closer to you when we wander, when we're in need. Thank you for causing us to get out of the boat and into the water of faith, walking with you in a faithful way each and every day, I pray. Thank you for the assurance, the blessed assurance, that you will always be there for all who call upon your name. And we pray this in your name, in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. We join together in singing as the praise team comes forward to lead us in blessed assurance.
Blessed Assurance was written by a lady named Fanny Crosby, and many of you recognize that name because it is said she's written almost 8,000 songs. The amazing thing is she was blind from birth. A lady named Phoebe Knapp composed a tune and asked Fanny, "What does this mean to you?" And she thought about it and immediately said, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine."
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washing His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
It is to continue in worship at this time. I'm going to be offering a prayer of thanksgiving for our financial offerings. If you feel inclined to bow your heads, feel welcome to do that. God, as you call us to give of our tithes and offerings, some have given electronically and others have placed theirs in the offering box this morning. Thank you for receiving them all so that your name may be glorified in this area and to the ends of the earth. And Lord, we pray for your people, for friends, for relatives that we know. We offer prayers of thanksgiving for those who have recovered from illnesses. We also ask the healer of all ills, that is you, Lord, of course, to be with Cheryl and Ken, Deb and Mark, and others that we may have on our heart, and we mention their names to you in this moment of silence. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Lord. And Jesus, we give thanks for the call process and ask you to be a strong influence on any pastor that is interested in serving you here at Harbor of Joy. We ask that the Holy Spirit be present in the call committee and in that pastor. We ask you, the Holy Spirit, to guide leadership here at Harbor in order that your wisdom will prevail in this, your church. And Jesus, we also thank you for receiving Fran and Don Payne into eternal glory, as they were some of the founding members of Harbor. We also pray for the United States Senator Lindsey Graham's family upon his sudden death. Comfort them and guide all those involved. And we pray for the entire Okoboji area community. May churches and businesses flourish. And we pray for those visiting here, may they have safety, joy, and health for all. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy Jesus come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Would you please stand at this time and join the praise team in singing Soul on Fire?
Jeremiah 20, verse 9 said, God's word is like a fire, shut up in his bones, too strong to ignore. In 2015, a group that's still around called Third Day wrote a song, and when asked about it, they said, this is resurrection from a lackluster walk to a fiery passion for God. Soul on Fire. Thank you, praise team. Part of that song, I'm losing air. It's like I didn't have enough, so thank you for leading us. Receive the sending blessing. God bless you and keep you. May the power of God remain with you. Whether the storms of life are battering you now, know that he is with you, protecting you, guiding you, walking with you, walking behind you, encouraging you along a path that he has chosen for you, a child of his. Amen. And then, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Look forward to seeing you at fellowship.